Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lalakol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat B'Shalach. And as you know, the first half of Parshat B'Shalach details the events leading up to Kriyat Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea, as well as Bnei Yisrael's response, the singing of the joyous Shirat Hayam, the song of the sea. Now the Torah tells us in Shmot Perek Yadalad Pasuk Tet, Vayir Defu Mitzrayim Acharehem. It wasn't easy for the Jewish people soon after they left the land of Egypt because Egypt chases after them. Vayasigu Otam Chonim Alayam, and they approach them, they reach them as they're encamped on the sea. And the next Pasuk tells us, Vayireu Me'od Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. The Jewish people were greatly terrified and they cry out to Hashem. Now that seems like a beautiful response. They're in a situation of distress, Lo Aleinu. So what do? They cry out to Hashem. They daven. But the very next Pasuk tells us, Vayomiru Moshe, they said to Moshe, Hami bleeing, Farim Mitzrayim. Rhetorically, were there not enough graves in the land of Egypt? Lekachtan Lamupa Mibar, that he had to take us out here so we would die in the desert? Mazoda Sita Lanulotianami Mitzrayim. What have you done to us by taking us out of the land of Egypt? And they continue in the next Pasuk. This is what we told you. We'd prefer to stay in the land of Egypt and work for them and be alive as opposed to coming out here and dying. So many have noted the apparent contradiction, and they ask, which of these two reactions is the one that the Jewish people had? On the one hand, the people are davening to Hashem, showing that they're putting their faith in God, presumably in Moshe as well. On the other hand, they're angrily accosting Moshe and asking him, why did you take us out here? We're just going to die. So how are we to understand this reaction? The Midrash, for example, and it's elaborated upon by the Ramban, suggests that maybe there were multiple kitot, there were distinct groups, factions among the Jewish people, and they had different reactions. Some had great faith in Hashem, they cried out and they davened. Others were not as faithful, and they therefore were yelling at Moshe and giving him a tough time. That's one possible approach. One other interesting approach is from the Bartanura in his commentary called the Amarnike. So he suggests, based on the comments of the Mechilta of a Midrash, which is also quoted by Rashi, a very fascinating and important answer. So if you look, when the Torah tells us Vayitzaku, that the Jewish people cried out to Hashem when they saw the Egyptians had reached them, so Rashi says something interesting based off the Midrash, Tafsu umanut avotam. What did the Jewish people do when they were crying out? They, as if, embraced the trade of their fathers. And again, we're going to assume here that they're talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was this umanut? What was this trade that they embraced? Tefillah, crying out to Hashem. They davened just as their forefathers had done before them. And Rashi goes on to tell us, Be'avram hu omer elam akom asher amad sham. We have a pasuk after the destruction of the cities of Sodom that Chazal understand to mean that Avram davened in the morning. And then we have Vayitzchak that he's lasuach basadeh. He goes out to meditate in the field in the evening time before Rivka and Eliezer approach. And then by Yaakov, we know it was nighttime Vayivka b'makom, that he reaches the spot. Again, the assumption there is that we're talking about tefillah. So we see that Avram davens and Yitzchak davens and Yaakov davens. The Gemara Masech Rechot tells us that they were the ones that established Shachrei Mincha Marv, so on and so forth. Good. So that was their umanu. That was the trade of our forefathers. The Jewish people, they see Mitzrayim chasing after them, they see the sea in front of them, they're terrified. What do? They embrace the trade of their forefathers. Now, many understand this Midrash, many understand these comments of Rashi as a great praise of the Jewish people. Wow, look what they do in a situation of distress. They reach back just like the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did, and they cry out to Hashem. Very nice and very good. But the Bartanura suggests that no, that's not how you should understand this. He argues, Lo bishivchan diber hakatuv. The Torah here is not praising the Jewish people. Ela adirabah. Just the opposite. Bignutan. The Torah is calling your attention to a great criticism of the Jewish people. What criticism? Shema shitzaku lo haya belev shalem. When they cried out to Hashem, it wasn't belev shalem. It wasn't with a full heart. Ki im minhag avotehen biyadehen. Why is it they cried out to Hashem? Because that's what they saw their parents do. That's what they saw their bubbies and their zadies do. The Bartanura tells us that they didn't offer a heartfelt prayer. Rather, they cried out to Hashem in this time of distress just as they had seen their forefathers do. They knew that's what Jews do in a time of distress. But it's not because they were convinced that their tefillah would work. It's not because they believed that Hashem was going to listen to them and help them. They just did it because that was the natural response. It was built in. It's something that they saw other people do. But not because it was belev shalem, with a full heart. And if indeed that was the case, so if you think about it, what is the Bartanura suggesting? There's no contradiction here between these two reactions. They offered a lifeless tefillah because that's what they did out of habit, and they berated Moshe. Both are reflections of a significant lack of emunah. They did not trust in Hashem. They did not trust in Moshe. And did they daven? Yeah, they said those words because that's what they were used to doing, but it didn't mean anything. And that's why they could then go and criticize Moshe and the plan of Hashem to take them out of the land of Egypt. So important for us to remember. The Bartanura is telling us something very, very significant. We have to remember, tefillah is really a way for us to communicate with Hashem, and it's meant to be be a sincere expression of our hearts and our souls. It's supposed to be done b'lev shalem. When we daven, it's not just supposed to be us prattling, right? Saying words, mimicking our ancestors. Instead, we're supposed to be expressing our deepest desires, our hopes, and our needs. We're crying out to Hashem. And tefillah is meant to be that intimate conversation with Hashem. That's what it's supposed to be. It should be filled with heartfelt emotion. Cold or lifeless tefillot, they might be heard, they might be acted upon by Hashem, but they are likely much less efficacious, and they certainly won't change us for the better. And all that's true regarding our daily tefillot. That's regarding our shacharit, our mincha, and our ma'ariv, 100%. But kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer, how much more so when we offer tefillot during an etzara, during a time of difficulty or distress or pain, of challenges, lo aleinu, right? What types of tefillot should those be? The Bnei Yisrael, if you remember, they're sitting there on the seat, they're facing an existential threat. And according to the Bar Tanura, all they could muster was what appeared to them to be some sort of magical incantation. This is what our Bubby and Zaidi did. They would say these things in a time of difficulty. That's it. It's a magical incantation. That's all it was. I also saw Bubby crying over Tehillim, so I guess I'll do that too. But tefillah be'etzara is supposed to be so much more than that. A tefillah during a time of difficulty or distress, according to all opinions, that's a kiyum de'oraita. It's a fulfillment of a biblical command. How could they not have stormed the heavens? How could they have not poured out their hearts? How could they not have those tears soaked Tehillims? How could it be that in a time of such great difficulty, they didn't have an emotional tefillah? It's hard for us to imagine, but one theory might resonate with us. If you think about it, the Bnei Israel, they've been crying out to Hashem so many times during their torturous experiences in Mitzrayim. But the Torah tells us that this was in fact the case. If you look back in Shemot Perek Bet, tells us, the Jewish people, after Paro dies, so they're going through this torturous experience in the enslavement, and they cried out, and their tefillot went before Hashem because of all that work. Right? So we know that they were davening in Mitzrayim. So they've been doing that for years and years and years and years. But you know what happens when you do something after years and years and years, day in and day out? After a while, we lose passion. Those initial tefillot, those were likely incredibly passionate. Lots of kavana, heartfelt, tears, all that good stuff. But over time, whether it's because they felt that they weren't being heard, or maybe that they weren't being answered, whether they were somehow able to endure their terrible circumstances, or whether the exercise of tefillah just became rote and monotonous, their tefillot just didn't pack a punch anymore. And that's 210 years of slavery. Imagine what it must have felt like after hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tefillot. After a while, they lose some of their stamina. After a while, those tefillot just don't pack that punch that they once used to. And maybe that idea resonates with us just a little bit. Because if you think about it, it's been a little over 3 months since October 7th. And how do our Tehillim, how do our Avinu Malkeinus, our Mishaberos, how do those sound right now? How do they feel right now? I know 3 months ago, I couldn't get through any of the davening without choking back tears. I can't speak for anyone else, but I don't still have that same level of passion, unfortunately. I'm not proud of it. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I don't have that passion. I don't feel that emotion. My kavana has certainly diminished. To some extent, it feels like I am just going through the emotions, that I'm just embracing the trade, that it's a time of difficulty, so this is what you do. This is what you do when Klal Yisrael is in trouble. This is what you say when our enemies threaten us. Yeah, okay, it's another Tehillim that you say at the end of davening. But it's so important for us to remember that that's not good. That's not what tefillah is supposed to be. And we have to somehow figure out, and I can't necessarily tell you how, because it's going to be very personal, obviously, but we need to reinvigorate our tefillot. And that's true, of course, of our daily tefillot, 100%, but especially our tefillot now during an etzara, during a time of difficulty for the Jewish people. Look, tefillah, it's described as an avodah, it's a labor, it's work, it's toil. It's not going to be easy for us to, you know, feel that stamina, feel that emotion, feel that passion all the time. It's not going to be easy, but we have to figure out a way to do it. We have to think about how we want our tefillot to sound, how we want our tefillot to feel. We have to make sure that we keep those tefillot fresh and filled with kavanah and emotion and passion. And while Hashem may have responded to the tefillot of habit when they were tafsu umanatom shel aviyehem, Hashem may have responded to those tefillot of habit at the Yamsuf, but who knows what could have been if they were more inspired. And again, they got the miracle that they were hoping for, 100%, but we can't even imagine, we can't even fathom what could have been if those tefillot were even more powerful. When we daven with sincerity and heart, Hashem hears our tefillot and he responds. So let's make sure that we're not making the mistake of those at the Yamsuf, those who offer tefillot but not b'lev shalem, not with a full heart. And again, we don't blame them. We can understand why after hundreds and thousands of tefillot, over 210 years of slavery, that maybe they lost some of their passion. But nevertheless, If we want our tefillot to be more efficacious, then we need to put something into it. We need to feel it. We need to make sure that it's always, always, always shacharis, mincha, and mariv. And certainly, certainly during an etzara, it's always b'lev shalem with a full heart. Each one of us needs to think, what do we need to do in order to make that happen? Even if I can't do it for all of the tefillah, so at least part of the tefillah. Each day, something different, something new, something fresh. We have to make sure that we're doing that. Let us do the work, the avodah of tefillah. And let's make sure that we're injecting life and purpose and sincere emotion, lev shalem, a full heart into all of our tefillot. And please God, may Hashem answer every single one of them, l'tova. Shabbat shalom.